Hi, everybody. So tonight we are going to talk about the four levels of love. And I know that Eliyahu promised about love between the creator and a human being. But we're going to start first with the four levels of love between a person and his friend. And this is all from Rav Ashlag. So in order to be able to love the creator or to learn how to love the creator, we need to learn how to love each other. And so there are actually four levels that are two and two, and I'll explain in a minute, that are the different levels of loving a person. It's two levels divided into four. So the first level is, we have conditional love and unconditional love. Those are the two levels, and they're divided into two each. So it's conditional love and unconditional love. Remember, we're going to talk about love between two people or a person and his friend, but really it's in order for us to understand, in the end, loving the creator. So that's all an analogy. So in this level of conditional love, there are two levels. One is that two friends love each other, but they hurt each other's feelings at some point in time. And then because they're getting something from each other, let's say, you know, either they're swapping knowledge or they're giving gifts to each other or they're doing things for each other, they're doing favors for each other. Because of that, they kind of cover up the bad times because they say, you know what, it's better this way. So if it's better this way, we're just going to leave it. But they still have in the back of their mind that they were hurting each other. Everybody good with that? Okay. That's a part of conditional love. So that's two friends love each other, but at one point they hurt each other, and now they're kind of sweeping it under the carpet, and they're gaining from each other. The second one is that they were always good to each other. They were always friends. They never hurt each other. They never hurt each other's feelings, but they're still getting from each other. The condition, it's called conditional love. Why conditional? Because they are getting things from each other. So that's the two levels of conditional love. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Okay. The second level is love that doesn't depend on anything, or unconditional love, which means that a person saw all the great things about his friend and he passed all the tests and went beyond anything he expected. And because of that, he loves his friend. Okay, that's unconditional love. But even in this, there are two levels. The first level is he loves his friend because he hasn't seen any of his flaws yet. He doesn't know how he acts with society, but he still loves him. He might, if he knew how he acted, he might consider not loving him. So it's a level of unconditional love, but he hasn't seen the flaws yet. Okay. The fourth level, and that's the highest level, is a person knows everything about the other person, knows all the flaws, all the negativities, and not just that, he doesn't see in the flaws or the negativity something wrong. But truly, he's not trying to swipe it under the carpet, or he just doesn't see anything wrong, and he loves him unconditionally. Those are the four levels of love between a person and his friend. So what I want you to do now is, I don't know if you have papers, but on your phone, maybe you could write it on your phone, I want you to think of the four levels. So what are the two, let's go over the two levels of conditional love. What's the first level of unconditional love, the A and the B? Who remembers?
I knew. One person was hurt.
Right.
And then the second one, they weren't.
They were hurt, but then they swept it under the carpet. And the second one is? They were never hurt, right? Okay. Let's start with this. Write for yourself, we're not going to share. Write for yourself if you know, if you know someone in your life that you that treated you like this or that you treated like that. We're not going to share it. You don't have to. But write it for yourself. Because it's important to understand the levels so that we can get to a place of loving the Creator. Okay. Second one is the unconditional love. Can you see the board? Okay, who remembers? What's the first one in unconditional love?
He does not see any flaws in the other person.
He hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And the last one?
He sees the flaws, but that he doesn't think of them.
Right. So he sees the flaws, but he loves unconditionally. I want you to do the same thing here. Both ways. People you know, people who are your friends. Both ways. So now we're going to talk about love between a person and the Creator. And the levels that I showed you here are equivalent to levels with the Creator. Now we have to think, what is... According to this definition, what is true love?
Unconditional love.
Which is? What's unconditional love?
Someone would love you even though you're flawed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are two levels that are equivalent to the conditional and unconditional, and they're called concealment and revealment with the Creator. And in the same way that we divided the conditional and the unconditional, there's division here. But I want to explain what concealment is. So in the concealment, there's two levels. There's a single concealment, and then there's a double concealment. So let's explain what concealment is. So let's say you see your friend, right? You recognize his face. You know who he is, right? But let's say you walk into a room and your friend might be standing there, but you only see his back. So you're not 100% sure that it's them because you only see their back. Concealment is when we know that the Creator is good and that the Creator is sharing and, you know, the Creator is all giving. But then a challenge comes up or something doesn't go our way. And we start to have doubts if the Creator is really there. Why? Because we take it for granted that everything is good from the Creator. So you take it for granted that you see your friend's face, right? Walk into a room, you see your friend's face, you recognize them. Now you walk into a room, your friend is standing with their back to you, let's say on the other side of the room. Now you're doubting if that's your friend or not. With the Creator, when does that doubt come in? When does the concealment come in? When not everything goes the way we think we want it to go. Then we start doubting if the Creator is really there. If, you know, if everything is supposed to be good, how come it's not good? That's the level of concealment. Now there's double concealment. What's the double concealment? Is when you walk into a room and you can't see your friend, not his face and not his back. But you know he's there somewhere, but you can't see him. Not his face and not his back. But someone told you that he's there, so you can believe he's there, but you can't see him. What does that mean? That when a person doesn't believe that there's even a cause and effect, meaning the first level, it's hard for us, we're doubting, if things are not going our way, we're doubting the challenges, we're doubting that the Creator is there. Second level is not just doubting that the Creator is there, is to have complete certainty that the Creator doesn't exist. To have complete certainty that there's no cause and effect. That everything is just by chance, that it's random. You know, this happened to me just because. That's the double concealment. Everybody with me? Okay. Those are the two levels that are equivalent to the conditional love. Why conditional? Because in the first one, we said that they love each other because there was a giving and a taking, a giving and a receiving. But maybe somebody was hurt. And that's why they decided to let go of the hurt, let go of the negativity, and just be able to get from each other. So that's the concealment. The second level that we want to talk about is called the revealment. So in the concealment, we said there's this single concealment. And the double concealment. So this is when you can see the back, but you're not sure that the Creator is there. And the double concealment is you can't see the face or the back. Okay. So the second part is the revealment. And the revealment, by the way, if anybody out there has questions while we're streaming, please write them, and Alex hopefully will be able to see them on her phone, so we'll answer the questions. Okay, so revealment. This level can only come as a gift from the Creator. What is revealment? Revealment is where when a person all of a sudden, you know, the aha moments, he has like an eye-opening moment, he understands that there's something spiritual in the world, that there's cause and effect, and the only...
Can you repeat that?
Yes. That the only reason why we're here is, and the reason why we're spiritual, is so that we can receive the gifts that the Creator wanted to give us. Because the only reason we have these four levels is so that we can have free will. Because if everything was easy from the beginning, we wouldn't have free will, we wouldn't be able to make mistakes, and we wouldn't be able to, because of the mistakes, become spiritual. Because when everything is good, most of us don't think about spirituality. When something happens in our life, or you know, we're looking for an answer, that's when we search for spirituality. When everything is good, or we think everything is good, we're complacent. That's why we have these levels of being able to reach the Creator, so that we can have the free will, so that we can work on ourselves spiritually. So the levels of the revealment are gifts. They're gifts from the Creator. And the first level of revealment is to understand that there is something spiritual, that we have a spiritual system. You know, that we suddenly see things that connect. We can see the cause and effect. We can see why we're doing things. We can see why things are happening to us. That's a gift. Through that, now because of the efforts that we made, because of all of the spiritual work that we did, so remember, the beginning was the love that depended on something, the conditional love. So working from conditional love and breaking out of that and going to a level of unconditional love, we receive the gifts from the Creator. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So from that level of the revealment, of the aha moments, of getting those gifts, we're able to get to the highest level, which is, and this is something that we need to explain a little bit, it's all of our negative actions that we've ever done become positive things that help us. Why? Because we've transformed. Because when you reach that level, energy doesn't go to waste. Right? So anything you've done in your life, positive or negative, is still there. All the positive is there, all the negative is there. Once you start working, you know, it says that you should start studying spirituality. The ultimate is to study spirituality, to study Torah, to study those things for the sake of the Creator. That's the highest level. None of us are there. For the sake of the Creator. I mean, it sounds like we're going to do a favor for the Creator. It's not. That's not what it is, though. Where we are is to study for, not for the sake of the Creator, but to study so that we can get to a spiritual level, so that we can get to the unconditional love. What does that mean in our life? What does that mean for you in your life? To study spirituality so that you can get to unconditional love.
Like negatives become positives. They're never, you never have bad days.
You never have bad days. That's good. I mean, most of us aren't there yet, but yes, you never have bad days. Because you can look at a bad day as a challenge. It's not really a bad day. It's just an opportunity from the Creator. But now let's talk about in reality, in our everyday life. Most of us don't remember that it's challenges. We get stuck in the middle of our robotic day and we're mad at the Creator, right? Why is this happening to me? How could he do that? How, not he, the Creator, but how could this person do that? Now remember, the only reason that we're learning to love each other is so that we can love the Creator. Because there's nowhere else to practice. We're practicing here. We're practicing on how to get closer to the Creator. So those levels of conditional and unconditional love are for the Creator. So what I want you to do now is I want you to write down for yourself. Can I erase this? Are we good?
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to take every level that we spoke about. So there's the conditional and the unconditional. And I want you to write for yourself what that means for you between you and the Creator. How do you see yourself? Where are you in those levels? And then we can share a little bit if you don't mind sharing, whoever wants to. Where do you see yourself in those four levels of conditional and unconditional love towards the Creator? Remember, there's four different levels. Anybody want to share? Do we have anybody out there who wants to share? Okay. I can tell you that most of us are on the second level of the unconditional love, of the conditional love. Because we love the Creator when we want something. Right? And we're willing to forget about anything bad that happened to us when we really, really, really want something right now. Right? Most of us think that praying is, okay, I need health, I need relationship, I need this, I need that. And we're willing to let go of anything bad that happened, anything that we think the Creator did to us. One of the things that I hate is when people say natural disasters. There's nothing natural about a disaster. Nature was created by the Creator. Creator was perfect. So the disasters are an effect of our consciousness. There's nothing natural about it. But we think, this is where the conditional love comes in. We think that the Creator has conditions for us. We don't understand that there's no conditions. The only condition is to be spiritual. That's the only condition. Because when you're not spiritual, you're hurting yourself. The Creator doesn't need it. So those four levels are for us so that we can slowly, slowly, slowly get there. Okay, so I'm not here to tell you that there's no hope and that we can't do anything about it. So there are four different ways of being in a relationship, because now everything is about a relationship between us and everybody around us. So we need to know how to deal with it. So there's verbal, right? There's acts. There's emotions, and conclusions. In everything, conclusions. Okay. In everything that we do, there's these four aspects. Verbal, actions. So speaking, actions, emotions, and conclusions. So there was a seminar I gave a long time ago about love and relationship. And there's five levels of a relationship. There's appreciation. I'll write it down. Appreciation. Affirmations. Appreciations, affirmations, to know the other person's desires, kindness, and the last one is your own self-esteem. So let's talk about appreciation. What is appreciation? What's appreciation?
Well, it's kind of like thankfulness when you appreciate someone.
Right.
Thankful.
Yep. It's understanding and accepting the person for who they are. Appreciating a person. Why do we need to appreciate? Think about it in a relationship. Why do we need to appreciate?
To keep it.
Exactly. Not to forget why we decided to be with this person to begin with. And that's in marriage, in relationship, in partnership, in anything. Why did we decide to be with this person to begin with? Because if we lose that, we've lost our appreciation. Okay. How do we reach any of this? How do we reach appreciation? I gave you a hint before. The four steps.
Thinking that you might lose it.
No, that's guilt. We don't come from guilt. Everything I gave you was the four steps. In every single one of these, there's the four steps. Verbalizing it. Actions, showing your emotions. And understanding, having the conclusions of the appreciation for yourself. Every single step here has those four steps in it. Because otherwise it's guilt, and I don't believe in guilt. It doesn't work. Okay, affirmations. What's affirmations? Anybody know what an affirmation is? What's an affirmation, a definition?
Positive.
Right, to give someone support, to build their self-esteem. When you have, when you do a daily affirmation, what are you doing? You're saying to yourself how good you are, and you're motivating yourself. So it's giving someone the support they need to build their self-esteem. Why do we need affirmations?
We need one, and it's like exchange.
No, well, yes and no, but we need it to love another person. You need to be able to love another person, so you have to give them. You can't give someone something that you don't have. I always said that. You can't, if you've never tasted chocolate cake, you can't convince someone to have a chocolate cake because you've never tasted it. So if you don't have love, you can't give love. If you don't have affirmations, you can't give affirmations. The only difference in spirituality is you need to do the other thing first. Because once you do that, you'll be able to have it yourself.
Question.
So, yes?
Facebook question. The Creator created the world and everything in it. If I can't love the world and everything in it, how can I love the Creator?
If you can or you can't.
I'll repeat it. The Creator created the world and everything in it. If I can't love the world and everything in it, how can I love the Creator?
You can't. You need to see what's behind the why you don't love the world that you live in. That's where it needs to start. Okay, so how do we bring affirmations? What do we do? In those four steps, how can you verbally do affirmations? compliments.
Positive
talk. Very good.
Affection.
Now, in actions, how do you do, what do you do with affirmations in the action point of view? What's the action? Do you know what it is? Quality time. Because you're giving them a sense that you are there for them, you're motivating them, but it's being there. And it can be 5 minutes, as long as you're there. Most of us have that issue of we want to be in 10 different places at the same time, and then we do nothing, and nobody gets our attention. Because, you know, I can tell you with kids, you want to be with your kids, and then you have work to do, and then you're not in either place. So being there, quality time, whatever that quality time is, it could be 5 minutes, but whatever that quality time is. Okay. The next one is to know the other person's desire. So this one is a big one. This is about listening. Not hearing. There's a difference between hearing and listening. How many of you have had a conversation with someone and they're talking and you hear their voice, but you are not there and you haven't been there for the past 20 minutes? There's a big difference between hearing and listening. So to know the other person's desires, you need to be able to listen to them, to communicate in their language. This is also a big one. We think that when we love someone, we should love them the way we know how to love them. Problem is, everybody has love in a different way. Everybody communicates in a different way. So the way I want to be loved is not the same way you want to be loved. And if you try and love someone the way you want to be loved, you're not giving them love. Everybody understood what I said?
Yeah.
So that's the other person's desires. The next one is pretty easy for all of us, kindness. You know why you need to be kind to someone, right? And there's a difference between giving people an ultimatum and guiding somebody. Because once you give somebody an ultimatum, you've taken away their free will. Guiding them means, you know, this might be better for you. Maybe you could try it. Not if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. Nobody likes that. And the last one is self-esteem. So what is self-esteem and why is it so important? What is self-esteem and why is it so important?
Self-esteem is your own appreciation for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't appreciate yourself, you can't really appreciate the other person because you don't have the same capacity to do it for the other person.
Right, and let me take it even further, because remember, this class is about how to love the Creator. So what happens if you don't have self-esteem?
You don't love the Creator.
Yeah. Can't love the Creator if you don't have self-esteem. Why? Because you don't believe that. If we believe that the Creator, if we're starting from the place that the Creator created us, and the Creator is perfect, and we're busy with our low self-esteem, what have we just done? Cancel the Creator.
But that was not supposed to, we're not supposed to have any ego, right?
Ego, if we didn't have any ego at all, we wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. Ego is a good thing until you take it the wrong way. But if you don't believe 100% that the Creator created you, then you're busy with low self-esteem. Who are you busy with?
Yourself.
The minute a person has time to think about low self-esteem, they've just shut the Creator out. Because we each have a reason why we're on this earth. And the Creator put us here. So instead of being busy with ourselves, we need to be busy with why are we here? How can we help the next person? But when we're stuck in our low self-esteem, what we're saying is the Creator made a mistake. I don't think so. That's why it's so important to understand who we are. And once you work on your self-esteem, you also are not able to judge anybody around you, because everybody is a messenger. Everybody. You can study and learn from every single person in your life. And once you've opened yourself to learning and studying from every person in your life, there's no room for low self-esteem. Low self-esteem comes from a place of I know everything, but nobody recognizes that I know everything. And so, because nobody recognizes that I know everything, now I feel bad about myself. But if you already know that you don't know everything and you're ready to learn from everybody, there's no low self-esteem there, because you're studying and you're learning. Okay, let's do a little workshop. How many people are we? Yeah, if you can divide into twos and pick one of these to go through. One of these with the four steps of the verbal act, emotion, and conclusion with whoever you're doing it with. So you can choose appreciation, affirmation, to know the other person's desire. I think we're an even number. Winston, you want to go to?
Yeah.
Manny, here, you want to go to Winston? There you go.
Sit on this side?
Yeah, why don't you go on that side? You can go behind me. To pick one of these and go through the steps of the verbal, action, emotions, and how you, yes. Okay, guys, let's come back. Let's come back. I want to see if anybody wants to share if they learned something new or saw something different. Yes, go ahead.
How do you make the other person to talk?
Okay, let's stop right there. You can't make anybody, even the creator doesn't make us do anything. You can't make anybody do anything. You can't. If someone doesn't want to talk to you, then they don't feel safe. You have to create an environment for people to want to talk. You can't make a person do anything. But if you come from a place of really, truly thinking about them, which is not easy, because it's a place where you detach yourself completely from your agenda, completely 100%. And you're only coming as if this person is a stranger and you want to help them. That's not easy. But it's the only way to be able to, I mean, if there might be other ways, but it's one of the best ways to make a person feel comfortable is to not have an agenda. Because people will remember what you didn't say. People will remember what they felt. Doesn't matter what you say, how much you say, how smart you are, how long you spoke, what they feel from you is what they're going to remember. So it's not about making someone talk. It's about trying again and again and again to think about what I'm saying. How am I going to reach this person? How am I going to make them feel safe? How am I going to make them feel not judged? Everything that you don't like about yourself, I guarantee you, they don't like about themselves either. You don't like to be judged. You don't like to be threatened. You don't like to be nudged. You don't like that. Nobody likes that. So whatever you don't like, they don't like it either. And one of the biggest things that sometimes bothers love in relationship is defending ourselves. We defend ourselves. You know, like somebody says, this book shouldn't be this small. So they're talking about the book. They're not talking about the person holding the book. But if I start now saying, but, you know, we did it like this, who cares? It's not about you. It's about the book. Most of us take things personally. And it sounds like, how could you not take it personally? It's emotions. It's a relationship. It's love. But when someone is talking to you, they're trying to get a message across. If you try and understand them, in your way, without asking questions, you don't understand them. Guarantee it. Because we only understand in our way. It's very hard for us to understand in another person's way. So the first thing that can indicate that you're in a true relationship is if the other person asks questions. If you say something and somebody starts asking questions, not annoying questions, but questions because they really want to know and they want to learn, you know you've just opened up a relationship. If a person just listens to you and says okay and agrees with everything you're saying, you're not in a relationship, sorry to tell you. You're not. And what's going to happen is you're going to find yourself with people who will agree with you all the time. Because we have a need to be right. Most of us have a need to be right. You know, and we always say, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Because you can't have both. And it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to let go, to be able to say, you know what, I'm wrong. Or to be able to look at the other person and say, okay, what do you like? And that, when we spoke about desire, what's the other person's desires? People tell you everything within 5 minutes. Question is if you've heard them. They tell you everything they want within the first 5 minutes. But because we understand the way we understand, we're not open to listening to what they're saying. So the most important things, let's go back and summarize. So we're talking about conditional love. Unconditional love. Then we have the concealment. And the revealment. And the most important thing that we haven't really spoken about is free will. It's impossible to get to the final stage of loving unconditionally without free will. Why? Because if we didn't have free will, we wouldn't be able to learn. If we weren't able to learn, we wouldn't be able to experience. Conditional love is free will. Because you don't, you know, the first stage that we said that someone might have gotten hurt, but still they're getting something from each other, it's your choice. All the stages of love are your choice. It's your choice if you want to love the Creator. It's your choice if you want to believe in cause and effect. It's your choice if you want to believe that the Creator is there and the challenges are there to help us grow. It's free will. The Creator created the concealment so that we would have free will to reach out and look for the Creator. Because it's easy to walk into a room and see your friend and see their face and know who they are and everything is fine. It's harder to walk into a room where there's, you know, I don't know, from here to, let's say, the end of Pico, you're walked into a gigantic ballroom and your friend is standing with their back to you. It's hard to figure out who that person is, right? So like we said, when we have those challenges, it's hard in that moment. How many of us remember, okay, the Creator loves us? Most of us don't. Most of us, when we're in the middle of a fight or we're in the middle of a challenge at work or we're trying to get our point across to somebody who hasn't, you know, listened to us for the past 20 years, and we're so busy trying to do that, that we forget. We forget that the other person also has free will. Just because they don't agree with you doesn't mean they don't love you. A lot of people think that because a person doesn't agree, they don't love. There are no two people that agree on everything. We're all different, and that's okay. We don't have to accept each other's ideas. We need to be able to listen to them. And then we have the free will to choose if yes or no, and it goes both ways. They don't have to agree with us. They can listen. But loving someone is being able to look at them, listen to them, respect them, appreciate them, listen, ask questions. You know, there's, I don't remember where I heard this about active listening. Active listening is asking questions. When you're just listening, I guarantee you, when you're just listening and you don't ask questions, you don't remember anything they told you, nothing. Because it's at some point, you know, and it says that people are getting more and more ADD with time. Like people's attention span are like 6 minutes now. You know, why are the commercials that fast? Because people don't have time to listen or to look or to take more than 2 minutes. So we need to ask questions. And it's the same with the levels of love. How do I love the Creator? Where am I standing? And why? If it's conditional, why is it conditional? Why do I have conditions for the Creator? And I guarantee you, the way you treat every single person in your life is how you treat the Creator. So if you don't trust anybody in your life, you don't trust the Creator either. And it's a big thing to be able to build trust. To be able to trust that the Creator sees more than we do. Most of us want to control our life, right? Most of us want to be in control. Most of us want to control our life. And what we don't understand is that when we think we're in control, that's the least time that we're in control, is when we think we're in control. Because the Creator has a bigger plan. But what we've learned is that we need to know what we're doing, we need to know where we're going, we need to have a purpose, but what happens if I go this way, this way, this way, this way, and I've gone this way for 110% of my time and given everything, but it's not working? So we need to be able to say, okay, let's go this way. And then maybe something will open up. And then there's a difference between giving up and letting go. There's a difference, you know, I know people who've gotten divorced 3 times, right? Why do they get divorced 3 times? Because they don't want to deal with themselves. You know, I know people who want to move. They've moved to 7 states. Why are they moving? Because they don't realize that wherever you move to, you're still taking yourself with you. So if you're able to open up yourself to loving, if you're able to open up yourself to knowing that we can learn from every single person in our life. Every single person. Once that starts, it's the Creator. You know, somebody, on Saturday, we had one of the students here give a lecture. And we were talking about trusting in the Creator. And he told a joke, you know, about a man. I'm sure you've heard this joke. A man was drowning. And it's a religious man. And he's drowning, and he's asking the Creator for help, and all of a sudden a boat comes by, and they say, you know, I'm going to pull you out. And he says, no, 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 I'm waiting for the Creator to save me. And then a fisherman comes by, and, you know, he says, no, I'm waiting for the Creator to save me. And a helicopter. And finally he drowns, and the waters, and he goes up, and he says, I don't understand. I was waiting for you to help me and save me. Why didn't you save me? And the Creator says, who do you think sent the boat and the fisherman and the helicopter? So we get so many messages in our relationships. But we get stuck in trying to put what we think is right across. That's not love. That's wanting to be right. That's the need for approval. That's when we lose the appreciation. That's when we forget who the person is in front of us and why we're there to begin with. So I know you guys aren't coming back next week, and I'm going to leave like 5 minutes for questions. But for homework, and you can email me, where did you lose appreciation? Where did you lose appreciation? Because it's so important. That's probably one of the most important parts of love, is appreciation. Not from guilt. Not from, you know, if they don't appreciate me, then I can't. But from, okay, why am I with this person? Why did I want this relationship to begin with? Because that's so important to remember, especially in our daily lives. We go through our robotic mode. We go through our jobs. We go through, you know, how many of us get in a car, go somewhere and forgot how we got there because it's just you're on robotic mode. It's the same thing with a relationship. If you don't invest in it, if you don't grow from it, fights are healthy. It's okay to have a fight as long as you know that the fight is part of the growth. You know, the relationship isn't the end goal. Once you've started a relationship, that's the work. That's the love. Once you recognize that the creator is there, that's when the work starts. People who don't believe, they say they don't believe in the creator. It's very easy for them. They have no work to do on themselves. You know, people who don't believe in that we have more than one lifetime. So either they live in guilt or they enjoy their life and that's it. It's very easy. Once you understand that there's a creator and you want to work on yourself spiritually, that's when the work starts. That's when true love starts. True love doesn't start in the butterflies and the roses, and that's great. It has to be there before. But once you've been with somebody for more than 2-3 years, then you know you need to start working. Questions? Yes?
I don't understand what conclusions mean.
Conclusions? Okay, conclusions is basically manifestations. It's okay, I understand why I need to appreciate, what I need to do to appreciate, and to sort of even write it down for yourself. You know, he likes this, he doesn't like this. I have a terrible memory. It doesn't matter how long I've known Eliyahu or my kids, I have a terrible memory, and they change their minds all the time. So, you know, this person likes this, this person doesn't. Write it down, don't be embarrassed. Our brains go mush after a certain age. Any more questions? Okay, thank you guys.